Good Thursday morning, everyone. Welcome into Morning Invest. You're having a wonderful morning. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Great to see all of you on this holiday. We don't stop working. We've got a whole show lined up for you today. So glad to see all of you. Coming up on the show today, President Trump plays hide the salami with the stimulus money. Literally hiding stimulus money from Team Biden. That's right. Also, Biden's picks for his new cabinet are starting to shape up, coming together fully. And it is troubling, to say the least. I want to look at the Pentagon side of this, the national security side of the cabinet. We're going to dissect this and why you won't see this kind of coverage, this kind of a story watching MSNBC or CNN or otherwise. So we will deep dive Biden's picks this morning because we have to keep them honest. We're also going to be looking at new unemployment data that is out this morning, and it is not good. And once again, reaffirming the need for additional stimulus. All of that and more on the show today. Grover is here. He's in the house. Someone said earlier in the chat, who cares about the dog? And the entire chat room said, what? Do you know what show you're watching? This is Grover's show. It's a Thanksgiving show. How are you showing thanks on Thanksgiving? Grover is really angry with you, by the way.
Blasphemer.
Good to see all of you. Blasphemer. David, happy Thanksgiving to you. He's in the control booth producing the show today.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, indeed. And by the way, in the lower right-hand corner, right before the show, is it right-hand corner? What corner is this?
It's right-hand.
Lower right-hand corner.
No, well, sorry.
We added
your left.
Oh, okay. Here you. Okay. Yeah. Lower left-hand corner, do you see our little special pilgrim hat and leaves? This is our little Thanksgiving edition of Morning Invest. By the way, when you click on that, that's how you can subscribe to the channel. Just tap on that little watermark. Just tap it, and that's how you can be a subscriber to our channel. The only progressive morning news show. We have an amazing community of thousands of people who watch us every day here. So I just want to say thank you for making this show an important part of your morning. It really means the world to me. You know, it's one of those things I love doing every day. It's my favorite hour of the day that I get to work on for hours a day putting this show together. So thank you so much. We also have our morning newsletter that goes out every morning that we write first thing in the morning. We put a lot of work into that. And I just want to say thank you there as well. If you're a subscriber to our free morning newsletter, if you're not, you can get it for free. Morninginvest.com is where you get it. Subscribe, delivered right to your inbox every morning. And again, it's totally free. You can read it in about 5 minutes. Covering the stories that I think are important for all of you.
You can read it in about five minutes if you don't go down the rabbit hole. Like I go into
Oh, that's
some of
true.
The
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Put some fun in there. But did you see the story this morning with the man who had six pregnant women?
Yeah.
Six pregnant wives that he brings to a wedding. He shows up and he's got six different women all pregnant. And he's like, hey, these are my ladies and they're all pregnant. My wife said, yeah, you could barely deal with one pregnant wife. Like, how in the world could you met six different pregnant women all at the same time? I would move. No offense, but no way. Good to see all of you this morning. Grover's got a bone that he's this is a little Thanksgiving bone that he's chewing on this morning. All right, we've got a lot of news to get to on this Thanksgiving. So let's do it. Well, President Trump is playing hide the salami with the stimulus money. Instructing Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin to essentially take the leftover stimulus money that's just sitting there, the $400 billion. We were wondering what he was going to do with this. In fact, someone asked yesterday in the chat, what exactly is he going to do with this money? Well, guess what? Now we know exactly what he's doing with it. Yes, he's taking it and basically hiding it from the incoming administration. It's almost like they're trying to sabotage the incoming Biden transition team. They're almost trying to sabotage their ability to pass meaningful stimulus or get these funds out to anybody. But in fact, instead of sabotaging Team Biden, they're screwing you over. So Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin pulled $455 billion in COVID aid out of the Federal Reserve. It was allocated at the Federal Reserve for Jay Powell to use. Now his successor at the Treasury Department, Janet Yellen, will basically not be able to access it. So let's go through this a little bit. It's absolutely disturbing. According to The Hill, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin signaled that he would move this $455 billion back into the Treasury's general fund. a move that would make it harder for his successor to access the emergency funding. Mnuchin said last week that he was shutting down a handful of the Fed's emergency lending facilities, a move that the central bank opposes. Jay Powell does not want them to close these facilities down. This is like a rare battle between these two. Why are you closing these down? I mean, we're absolutely in the middle of a pandemic, and the economic numbers and signs right now are very troubling. They're grim, to say the least. So yeah, let's shut these programs down. Those facilities hadn't been used much during the pandemic, but could be reapportioned properly to get added access to these programs. But they're not. The amount which will be returned is part of a $500 billion allocation of the CARES Act. This was a part of the CARES Act back in March. Mnuchin at the time requested the Fed return the funding, which Congress appropriated to cover potential pandemic-related losses, including state and local governments, other shortfalls, and these Main Street lending facilities to help out small businesses and local governments. So now he's pulling these back, and in order for Janet Yellen to get access to them, we may need another act of Congress for her to be able to get access to these monies in order to redeploy them. Why? Why are you wasting your time doing this right now? Just keep this money where it's supposed to be. There's a whole list of things that President Trump is trying to do right now. There's a number of senior administration officials and others who have been ramming through different guidelines and programs and shuttering different programs in order to basically be a thorn in the side of Joe Biden when he comes in. Not only on the stimulus front, but on national security. We have a program where we fly reconnaissance missions over Russia. And these particular aircraft that are used to fly these reconnaissance missions, and that reconnaissance group is being closed down, essentially. And they're dismantling the airplanes. And when asked and pressed on this, NBC News had been pressing the Pentagon on this. The Pentagon is telling, you need to ask that department. And then that department says, no, you need to ask that department. And they keep, like, it's like a hot potato. No one will give a straight answer as to why these airplanes are being dismantled before Biden comes in. Now he's going to have to rebuild this program. And these airplanes that were used by these reconnaissance teams are now being broken apart, literally taken apart. There's no other reason for it other than you're trying to sabotage this incoming administration. Bharat Ramamurthy, a former advisor to Senator Elizabeth Warren, who now serves as a member of the Congressional Committee appointed to oversee this money, called Mnuchin's move, quote, illegal. He said on Twitter, "This is the Treasury's latest ham-handed effort to undermine the Biden administration." Republicans on the Senate Banking Committee applauded Mnuchin, saying Congress's intent was clear. These facilities were to be temporary, to provide liquidity, and to cease operations no later than the end of 2020. He's just doing his job. He said, Pat Toomey said, with liquidity restored, we strongly support Treasury Secretary Mnuchin's decision to close these facilities by year end, as Congress intended and the law requires. The Federal Reserve's decision to return this unused CARES Act funds to the Treasury, making it all but impossible for Janet Yellen to access this money, which was signed into law under the CARES Act. So nearly $500 billion sitting there that should be used and can be reallocated. Now they won't have access to it. Thanks. The only way that I could read this is sabotage. The only way that I could read this is you're trying to stick it to Team Biden to make it more difficult for them to shore up the economy, especially when you see new data out this morning that shows troubling signs for the economy. Here's some new unemployment data. A flurry of data that was just released last night suggested that the spread of the virus is intensifying the threats to the economy. The number of Americans seeking unemployment rose last week for the second straight week to 778,000. Employers are still slashing jobs more than 8 months after the virus hit. So employers are continuing to slash jobs. And now a new report also shows that many of these job losses are permanent. Before the pandemic, the weekly job loss claims was about 225. And layoffs right now are historically high. And many businesses are now saying that they're not going to reopen altogether. New York is now pushing many businesses to basically say, you can't ever reopen. Like, just take one for the team, you're done. Stay closed permanently. Of course, restaurants and bars have all these tightened restrictions. They're not going to be able to reopen. And economists at JP Morgan have slashed their forecast for the very first time to a near negative 1% annual GDP rate. Listen to what Mark Zandi says. He's from Moody's Analytics. He says, this winter will be, quote, grim. The economy is going to be very uncomfortable between now and when we get to the next financial rescue package, Zandi said. If lawmakers can't get it together, it will be very difficult for the economy to avoid going back into a recession. So Mnuchin takes this money and hides it, puts it out of reach of the incoming Treasury Secretary, who will have a great relationship with Fed Chief Jerome Powell to be able to implement possibly some strategic changes to some of these Main Street lending programs, make it more available for these small businesses who are closing left and right. You know, what about using some of this money for these restaurants who, like in other countries, it's been brilliant what they've been able to do in Australia and other places to be able to use some of this money when they're forcing restaurants to close, subsidize those restaurants to make sure that, okay, for the time that you have to stay closed, you're taken care of. We'll pay the rent. We'll make sure that you're getting stimulus money so that when this thing passes, you can reopen and you don't have to worry about permanently closing your doors. And oh, by the way, what about those low-wage workers who are waiters and waitresses at those restaurants? Those are the permanent job losses we're talking about. What about reapportioning that money for these Main Street lending programs instead of hiding this money? Just unbelievable. Lengths to which this administration is showing that they will go, it will stop at nothing to undermine the incoming administration. The problem is, though, you know, I'm not a Biden fan. It's not about him. And that's what this is. It's about you. So it's about people having access to stimulus money. It's not about Janet Yellen or Biden's ego. It's about Trump's ego. And ultimately, it's hurting you. No, what would he rather spend time doing? He'd rather spend time, pardoning people. Mike Flynn, for instance, being pardoned last night. I mean, the list goes on. A number of environmental programs that he's trying to ram through at the last minute. All kinds of slashing of programs that President Trump is trying to ram through before he leaves office. We have 50 days of this left. How many more pardons are we going to see coming? How many more environmental rollback programs are we going to see? By the way, there's a number on this list. We'll go through them tomorrow on the show that will basically be off limits to Biden. Like, he won't be able to touch them. Like, once Trump screws with them, it would take years to unwind. And that's what Trump's focus is right now on his way out the door. Screwing us over, essentially. So thanks, Secretary Mnuchin. Hiding the stimulus salami. Let me know in the comments below what you think of this. And if you're new here, please subscribe. You can just tap on that little Thanksgiving edition, little Morris Morning Invest logo there. You can become a subscriber. Thank you so much for that. And keep your comments coming in. I want to hear what you think about it this morning. Let me know. By the way, at the end of the show, we'll open up some good Q&A. So I want to hear from all of you in the chat. Grover thinks that that's total garbage. It destroys that wooden bone that we got him. I mean, these unemployment data is just terrible. Meanwhile, let's keep President-elect Biden honest. This Biden's, corporate elite warmonger cabinet is all coming together. And this has progressives hopping mad, and as they should be. Of course, this is one thing that we were hoping from Team Biden. Would you have progressive voices in a cabinet? And I want to be very clear because, you know, for those of you that don't necessarily maybe follow politics or you've been brainwashed in a, I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm just saying you've been spoon fed all of this mainstream media news over the years about what a Democrat is and like, what does it mean to be progressive? So I'll give you my definition of this. I think what it means to be truly progressive is to stand for American workers, having access to universal health care in this country, making sure that everyone has a chance, not giving handouts, but giving a leg up, Medicare for all, making sure that we have a social safety net that takes care of people, much the way that Scandinavia does, most of Europe does, where the standard of living is higher, where healthcare doesn't cost you $1,800 or 1,800% increase when you want to get a Tylenol, where it would normally cost 10 cents and you're paying $350 at the hospital. All of these pieces come together to form a progressive platform. You know, environmental protections across the country, making sure that we have clean air and clean water, making sure that our kids can, you know, hey, go fishing and not pull out some fish that's filled with mercury and all kinds of harsh and heavy metals inside of them. Ending fracking, which destroys groundwater in neighboring communities. Things that Democrats will pay lip service to during the campaign and say that they're supportive of, you know, they want clean air and clean energy. They want universal health care for everyone. They want health care for everyone. But do they really? When they get elected? No. There are progressive voices like Bernie Sanders and others who bring these messages to the fore, but then they get quickly swept under the rug. And when Biden gets elected, we're all supposed to look the other way. If you tune into MSNBC or CNN right now, oh, you're supposed to just be, you know, shooting streamers out of your ass on a regular basis at how great these guys are. Right? You see on MSNBC, they're running, CNN, they're running like a new Kamala Harris. Her rise to prominence, you know, like they're doing all these documentaries now on Kamala Harris and all that. These are not progressives that were just elected. These are moderate centrist Democrats who are basically no different than their Republican counterparts. How do we know? All you need to do is look at Joe Biden's cabinet picks right now. Would Bernie Sanders be a member of his cabinet? We hoped. Could he be in charge of the Labor Department? What about Elizabeth Warren, who will go after Wall Street? No. Wall Street would be scared. If Joe Biden put Elizabeth Warren in his cabinet to go after Wall Street, to keep them honest, they'd be terrified. But he's not going to do that. They're so far sitting on the sidelines. So that's why Bernie right now and Elizabeth Warren are pretty hopping mad. He basically warned him the other day, you're going to feel the wrath of the political left if he shuts out progressives from serving in important posts in the administration. He says, it seems pretty clear that progressive views are being swept away. And who's being rewarded? It's the corporate elite. It's the warmongers that are coming together. So there's a number of different voices that are now being selected for Biden's cabinet. If you had hoped that there was going to be, a pullback on us going to war and far off places for no reason, if you thought we're going to start to bring troops home, we're going to start to close military bases around the world, we're going to decrease our defense budget, which is something you know I'm a big fan of doing. Does that look like it's going to happen? No, not at all. Because all of those Obama-era spending and bombing folks are back again. You know, under Obama, of course, we had the largest expansion of our drone program, launched a number of new multiple wars under Obama. You didn't get congressional approval for it, right? In Syria and Yemen and other places, Libya. But we just continue to bomb those places. We have Afghanistan. We're 19 years in that war now. Iraq. And there's a continued call now for expanded Pentagon military budgets. So all you need to do, if you think I'm making this up, all you need to do is go to Biden's transition website. And he lays it all out right there in ink on the Biden transition website. So it's all there. All the platform is right there on the Biden, joebiden.com. And what does he want? He wants to have an additional, his transitional advisors include, for instance, retired General Lloyd Austin of Raytheon Corporation, former Principal Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, Kathleen Hicks of the Aerospace Corporation, the former number two civilian at the Pentagon, Robert Work, who of Raytheon. All of these big budget defense contractors who make billions of dollars off of the government are on his transition team advising him on who to pick and put in place to continue these foreign wars and to make sure that money is being shoveled in the right directions to the likes of Raytheon, Boeing, all of these, Northrop Grumman, etc. Among many others, including administration in the administration's orbit, are all of these people that worked at these companies. The most emblematic and illustrative of Biden's military industrial warriors is the current frontrunner to be his defense secretary, and that's Michelle Flournoy. So we talked about this a little bit last week on the show, but Michelle Flournoy, look at that. That's the face of a warmonger right there. Because
Clayton,
in June of this year,
they're being diverse, though. Yes. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we should. So if you watch MSNBC, if you watch CNN, we should be thrilled that she's a woman. Right? Michelle Flournoy is a woman. We should just look beyond what she wants to do, like in the South China Sea, for instance. Right? She wants the capability. She wrote in June, says she wants the capability to credibly threaten to sink all of China's military vessels, submarines, and merchant ships in the South China Sea within 72 hours. She wants us to ramp up military spending. She wants to ramp up our air and sea defenses, so much so that we could destroy the Chinese military in the South China Sea within 72 hours. So pony up some more money. This is your new war. This is your new Cold War. I spent last night 5 minutes of my life that I wish I could have back watching Laura Ingraham, who I find to be one of the most repugnant people on television. But a big part of her argument last night about why we should be concerned about Joe Biden as our new president is that Biden is going to be soft on China. She said something like he's going to kowtow to China, just roll over to China. And now you're starting to see all of this like right wing propaganda popping up on Fox News and other places about Joe Biden is going to be soft on China. Meanwhile, if you've listened to him during the debates, he talked about, frankly, Trump being soft on China and why we should be standing up to China. So I don't know where they're getting this from. Even here's Tom Cotton, who tweeted this yesterday earlier this week, as Bob Gates said, Joe Biden has been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades. Now he's surrounding himself with panda huggers who will only reinforce his instincts to go soft on China. So this has been trending, panda huggers. That's what Biden's going to be. I don't know if you just heard what I just said about the people that he's putting into his war cabinet, but Michelle Flournoy wants to destroy China's military within 72 hours. I'm a feminist.
Well, and you notice a lot of
she'll
the language
applauding.
About...
She'll be the first woman.
A lot of people are talking, like when you listen to the language around this, it's so focused on foreign policy. It's so focused on military.
Right. What about trade? You know, what about having an open channel of trade, an alliance? What about working on that? So we want to increase our military so we can just destroy China. Right? They're trying to become the global superpower. We shouldn't let that happen because that's another one of his picks. So to David's point here, so Michelle Flournoy, who says we want to destroy China, their military within 72 hours. So if you thought, now she's the pick for defense secretary, the first woman, but we should be applauding that she's a woman. She's a woman who's more of a warmonger than I am. Let's get that door, shall we? Biden's choice for Secretary of State, Tony Blinken. Here's another one. Here he is, by the way, hanging out with Obama in sneakers. Here's Obama just talking. Hey, he's so cool. He can just wear sneakers and bomb people. Oh, Clayton, you shouldn't be saying that. I know I shouldn't be saying that, right? I shouldn't talk like that. You should be respectful of this incoming administration, right? You should be respectful. You should ignore the truths. Like, if you watch MSNBC right now, they're just so effusive. First woman Secretary of Defense. And all of the language is getting back to normal. All of the language is now, good, we're getting back to normal. We're normalizing things once again. We're going back to the establishment under Obama.
Yep, we're back.
When we were all lulled to sleep. We're back, like Biden tweeted the other day.
Back,
we're back.
Go buy your America Democrat is merch. Back. Your Democratic merch and go back to sleep. That's
you want to go over to Team Biden? Go over to Biden's website. You want to buy some merch? You can do that right now. You can get the Dogs for Democrats a collar for $28. What do you guys want? Do you want some stickers? How about this? For you champagne drinking liberals, here you can drink number 46 champagne flutes and sit around and celebrate. Don't be a D. Don't be a D. Oh, you want a tote? How about a tote? Look, they're so lovable. They're so, they're just so soft on everything. They're just so lovable, right? They're not like those warmonger Republicans who just want to continue to bomb people, right? Oh, they've got baby stuff, so they care about babies. How about that? Look, I know this rubs some people the wrong way. If you rub the wrong way, then you're growing, by the way. Like, if this bothers you, if this makes you uncomfortable, what I'm saying right now, then that's good. You only grow through discomfort. So if you've been watching all of these mainstream media networks for so long and you've been told to just fall in line, you've been told how everything's going to be great, back to normal. There's going to be, adults in the room again. Now get those Trump people out of there. There's going to be adults in the room. That's what you're being told right now and spoon fed from the mainstream media. It's worth keeping in mind, though, that the global war on terror has now killed 7,000 U.S. servicemen and women. More than twice the number of people killed on 9/11. More than 800,000 lives worldwide. 800,000 lives through bombing, through drone strikes. 800,000 people. For what? What are we doing? So we can be a, quote, a force for good in the world?
And what percentage of those were innocent?
A huge percentage of them. Oh, but you can't talk about that, David. You can't talk about that these drone strikes have killed innocent people. Like, you can't. That's just, come on. You'll never be invited to be a guest on MSNBC again, like Andrew Yang, if you say this kind of stuff. There's the cost to the United... Let me just put this in perspective for you. All of these bogus wars that we're fighting right now and going to continue under Biden cost $6.4 trillion. And how many of you are on food stamps right now? I saw before the show, a number of you said, I'm on food stamps on this Thanksgiving. I lost my job on this Thanksgiving. We don't have stimulus. You have Treasury Secretary Mnuchin hiding the stimulus money. Again, if this makes you uncomfortable, it should. Because that means you're, in some ways, for some of you, this might be new that you're hearing this. Tony Blinken, let's go back to him. So he's another choice under Biden's cabinet. There he is sitting with Obama, probably picking another village to bomb. He plans on undermining Beijing's what's called Belt and Road Initiative, meaning he wants, in China, our allies to be just as tough as on China as we are, militarily. Strengthen that Belt and Road Initiative around Beijing. Tighten it up. Go after them as Secretary of State. So you have Michelle Flournoy at Defense Department, Defense Secretary, who wants to bomb China into oblivion in 72 hours if possible. You have Anthony Blinken, who plans on undermining Beijing all around economically. And then you have National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. He's the other choice. Biden's choice for National Security Advisor at the NSA. He was described by Forbes magazine this past June as a Peter Navarro-like China hawk who believes that Beijing is, quote, gearing up to contest America's global leadership and that those signs are unmistakable and they are ubiquitous. We cannot let China become the global superpower, and we need to do whatever we can to stop it. So I go back to Laura Ingraham, and I go back to Tom Cotton saying that now he's surrounding himself with panda huggers who will only reinforce his instincts to go soft on China. It's total garbage. That's total BS. So if you hear that kind of talk and you hear, you know, Laura Ingraham saying that he's going to be soft on China, I want to remind you of something that Christine Stonehouse said about this. She said, whenever someone tells you that a U.S. president is going to be soft on a nation the U.S. government has marked as an enemy, you are being played. Always, 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 always. It's just people manipulating you from your natural healthy inclination towards peace. Get out of your echo chamber. Look at the raw information instead of the narratives and stop letting the sociopaths manipulate you. In other words, you shouldn't be afraid of your government being too nice on China. It's not going to happen. When he has surrounded himself with these types of war hawks who want to increase military spending, give you guys a new enemy to be angry about, because we operate best as a country spending so much money on our military when we have an enemy, right? When it's Russia, when it's Vietnam.
Well, we can't forget, you know, though, Clayton, Blinken and Florney, their firm told executives that they'd share their passion for helping new companies get Pentagon contracts. So they are thinking about, you know, U.S. businesses.
Yeah, they're in favor of U.S. businesses. Boeing and Raytheon and Northrop Grumman. All these companies have been suffering. They only get $40 billion a year from you, the taxpayers, to keep building unbelievable jet programs, new aircraft carriers, new incredible bunker-busting bombs that we need. And if you listen to Flournoy, who wants to increase the spending, she wants to make sure that we have a military readiness that can go after these merchant ships, submarines, and military vessels and destroy them within 72 hours. Biden's presidential team of national security advisors is being loaded with people that they call the blob. It's a policy unaffectionately known as the blob. It's a well-worn group of people who's been resurrected from the Washington establishment under Obama, who backed or waged disastrous wars for the last two decades. They've kept the military-industrial complex running smoothly through economic recessions, declines, pandemics. No problem. You guys will continue to get your money. You want to believe this idea that Obama gutted the military? Come on, man. So Trump had to increase military spending by 20% because Obama just destroyed the military. Okay. All of these people that are now surrounding the president are part of this group. So right now, what you should be worried about, though, is a U.S. centralized power advancing a new front on the Cold War against China, against two nuclear armed countries for the first time. Russia? Well, why don't we throw in Iran? Iran, Russia, China. And you're being told that these guys are going to undermine the United States. We need to ramp up our military so that we can destroy them within 72 hours in the South China Sea. You better get on board or you're not a patriot. We can't afford stimulus money or, you know, we can't afford good school lunches for our children or universal health care for our citizens, but we can make sure that Raytheon and Northrop Grumman and all of these companies are taken care of. And we can continue these foreign wars and more people will die. You know, money is one thing. And think about hundreds of thousands of people being killed as a result of these bombs. And our military service members that are scattered around the world supporting this military-industrial complex under the guise of patriotism. So these are the people that are going to be in the White House.
Well, and when did patriotism become American supremacy?
It's a good question.
Because that's what it's tied to now.
Well, I think after World War II. Look, before World War II, we did not have a standing military. United States Army. We did not. We were able to mobilize after Pearl Harbor within months. Within months, we were able to mobilize. You know, Japan awakened the sleeping giant, right? Their attack on Pearl Harbor. And we were able to mobilize in a matter of months and win against two fronts. It's Imperial Japan and Nazi Germany. You mean to tell me we need a massive standing army against some guys on camels in the Middle East? We don't. So later this week, well, I'm going to have a story about Biden's cabinet on the financial side. And you can see why Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are really nervous about this. Because there's a lot of talk right now of Biden adding Republicans to his cabinet. He's going to have Republicans in his cabinet. Why is he kowtowing to Republicans? Why? Because you think, oh, they're so far apart. Democrats and Republicans are so far apart. They're not at all. But why is Bernie Sanders not a part of his cabinet yet? Why is Elizabeth Warren not a part of his cabinet yet? Because those are the people the Democrats fear the most. Progressives. People like me. People who want Medicare for all, that would undermine Wall Street. People who want us to end these wars, that would undermine the Pentagon and the military-industrial complex.
Well, when you have a Democratic president that you can't attack from the right, you can only attack him from the left. You know, like, that's he. Mm-hmm. So that tells you he's closer to a Republican than a Democrat. Mm-hmm. If you look at what Democrats actually want.
Right. I mean, well, throughout the campaign, we kept hearing that, you know, he's moderate Joe. And then suddenly when he gets the nomination, now he's radical Joe. He's radical leftist Joe, right? That was the way they were trying to paint him. Didn't work because no one believed it. Look at his voting record. He's voted to expand the military spending, voted for countless wars, voted for the crime bill, wrote the crime bill. I mean, the list goes on and on. Kamala Harris, prosecutor, same thing. Progressive? Wouldn't support Medicare for all when asked about it, you know, shuffled his feet on it. When asked about fracking, we know that story. He was against it, now he's for it, now he's back. Who knows what he's for? He doesn't want it on federal land, but he's okay with it on your land, so your drinking water gets screwed. Now say what you want about Trump. Did not increase or start a new war. And has tried to bring people home from these wars, and he's gotten major pushback from the Pentagon. So much so that his own Pentagon and senior military officials have been throwing him under the bus about it. Yeah, Mitch McConnell coming out at the podium just before Thanksgiving break, not passing stimulus, no, taking the microphone and slamming President Trump for wanting to bring troops home from Afghanistan. It would be disastrous if we do that. Right. No, Mitch gets a call from Raytheon or Northrop Grumman or Boeing or these other defense contractors and says, Mitch, better get your boy in line. We've got to have endless wars need to continue. How are we going to make our money? Disastrous, right? Let me know your thoughts on this. Drop me a comment below. Am I way off base? Am I on target? Disagree with me? Agree with me? I want to hear from you. I try to read all of your comments every day. So please drop me a comment below. If you're new here, please subscribe to the channel. We do this show every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. What happened to Grover? I think he moved the camera. He got up and knocked the camera down.
Oh, it fell on him?
Oh, the camera fell on him. Good news, it's just an iPhone camera. Did you knock it over, buddy? No, I don't mean you, buddy. I mean dog buddy. He's got some sand in his eye from running on the beach this morning. He agrees with me. Well, something shady is going on with Republican Senator David Perdue, who, by the way, is up for his runoff election on January 5th. Could this shadiness undermine his ability to win that Senate runoff seat? Now, you may, just for some context here, you may recall back in March, couple of different members of Congress came under scrutiny for suddenly, miraculously, selling off a bunch of stocks and then buying a whole bunch of stocks and then making boatloads of money. Seemed like they were privy to information that we weren't. Right? American people get screwed. They lose half their 401ks. But these senators managed to, sell off stock and not get screwed, and then buy it back a few days later and make millions. Do they get some insider information? Well, it does seem suspicious. So Senator John Coffey, who's a Columbia University Law School professor who specializes in corporate and securities issues, said that it does seem suspicious what happened with him. Now, remember, the Senate Ethics Committee came out and said, we found no problem. There was a bipartisan Senate Ethics Committee, and we got through. It's all good. It's all good. We're good. We're back on. No problems here. But it turns out New York Times and others have done some digging. It turns out he may have known more than he was leading on that he knew. Because at the time, Senator David Perdue said, I didn't know anything about this. I have a third-party financial firm that handles my stock trades. They make trades without me even being involved in it. I didn't know anything about it. So for some context here, what happened was back on February 24th in an interview on Fox News, he at the time was answering about this, and he said that the economy was strong, and he praised publicly President Trump for keeping the economy strong. On February 24th, he was on Fox News. He said he's executed the greatest economic turnaround in U.S. history. Then, what he was doing privately was a series of very swift transactions showing the senator dumped some of these company stocks, when one company, a couple of them actually, while investing in others like protective equipment maker DuPont and pharmaceutical company Pfizer. So he dumped a bunch of stocks and he kept others. But he's maintained all along that he had nothing to do with these trades at all. Perdue's office has stated that the senator has no influence at all on the investment portfolio because as an independent financial advisor conducts stock transactions without his input. In response to the Daily Beast reporting about separate stock trades, for example, a Perdue spokesperson said that he doesn't manage his trades. They're handled by outside financial advisors without prior input or approval. No amount of lies from liberal media outlets or Democratic political groups will change that fact. So don't listen to liberal media. But in March, when asked on Fox News about his trading around COVID, Perdue said, like many members of the Senate, I have an outside professional that manages my personal finances. I'm not involved to the day-to-day. His office even went further, telling media outlets that his financial advisors make every call and that outside independent financial advisors continue to be the only individuals making the transactions. He has nothing to do with these transactions. He just happened to make millions overnight. Thank you. I had no idea, but thank you. But that appears to be total bullshit. On Wednesday, the Times reported that Perdue was investigated by the Department of Justice as it probed possible insider trading from a number of lawmakers over their investment activity around the coronavirus spread. That investigation found that an executive at the Atlanta-based company called Cardalytics, where Perdue used to work, mistakenly, sent Perdue an email in January saying changes were coming to the company. That's right. So he gets an email from Cardalytics that says major changes are coming to the company. I didn't have access to that email. Did you? So he gets access to this email and he dumps all of these stocks. He sold off $1 to $5 million in Cardalytics stock at $86 a share. Then it plummets to $30 a share right away, almost immediately after he sold it off. Guess what? He said, you know what? That stock that I once owned a few days ago is now only $30 a share. I'm going to buy some more. So then he invests another $500,000 in these stocks. And then it goes back up to $121 a share the next day. Or a few days later. Right now it's trading at $121 a share. The Cardalytics transactions, according to the New York Times, are just a slice of the number of investment decisions made in the early days of the pandemic by Purdue and other senators. The transactions were mentioned briefly by a story in The Intercept back in May. It didn't get much coverage back then. Now that Purdue right now is, of course, locked in this big runoff battle, it's getting renewed scrutiny. How much did he know? Is he just like you and me, or is he just a wizard of stocks? So to be clear, there's no definitive proof that Purdue, acted on information gained as a member of Congress or through his relationship with company officials. It's illegal, though, to use non-public information to trade stocks. It'd have to be made public. Like, I would have had to have received that same email from Cardalytics telling me that the company's about to change dramatically and that maybe I should sell my stocks. But as many legal experts say, this looks very odd, that if he's the one, he's not involved in any of his stock transactions at all. Suddenly, this gets sold off. Then he buys it back almost immediately afterwards. And he used to work there. At the time, Purdue has maintained that the economy was strong and, you know what, everything was going just great. So he was telling the American people that the economy was strong in his interviews with Fox News. Everything is going along great. President Trump is doing a fantastic job. But then he dumps a whole bunch of company stocks, but hangs on to companies like DuPont and Pfizer, but dumps ones that end up taking a huge bath. Okay, maybe it's his third-party company that's handling all this. Maybe he has no knowledge. Maybe he has no insider knowledge on this. So all of these questions, Donna Nagy, who's an Indiana University law professor, says all of these questions about the motivations behind members of Congress and their personal securities tradings could be alleviated if Congress passed a law that limited investments. Ordinary citizens should not have to question members of Congress about their investments. So, but still, because he's a member of Congress, he's been able to avoid some degree of scrutiny. Yet others at the time, too, Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina, he got most of the attention. He actually stepped down as a Senate Intelligence Committee chair back then because he sold $1.7 million in stock. When he was told privately that the coronavirus pandemic was about to hit, and he was telling publicly that there's no problem. He was holding town hall meetings talking about it's all fine. It's all fine. And then privately, he's getting briefings telling them that, oh man, crap's about to hit the fan. So he sells off all these stocks. Yeah, he stepped down. Cardalytics has not responded for request for comment on any of this. The CEO, though, of Cardalytics, after the March turmoil, she said during an earnings call in May when things were looking great for that company, said, quote, I hate to say this, pandemic is playing in our favor, but it is playing in our favor. And Purdue bought another 75,000 shares. Sure, there's nothing to worry about, though. It's an unusual move. Pretty amazing that he left the board, managed to get a vague email about it. But he's saying, you know what? Liberal media, social media is all publicizing this, and there's nothing to see here. Let me know your thoughts on that. Just coincidence? Drop me a comment below. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And while you're there, please smash that like button and subscribe to our channel. I'd really appreciate it if you would. We're at 869 likes on the day. Let's see if we can get it up to a couple thousand. And thank you for our new channel members today.
Good morning, everyone. People can't believe you worked at Fox. And Christine Rains wants to know, when did you work at Fox?
I worked in the belly of the mainstream media for many years. That's why I'm able to do this show now with some unique perspective, I'd say, right? I worked at NBC. I worked at CBS. And the last 10 years of my career, I anchored a morning show called Fox and Friends on the Fox News Channel. I did the weekend version of the show for 10 years.
Well, and I was just talking to Clayton this morning, to you, Clayton, about maybe doing like a members only interview and asking Clayton questions about his time at Fox News and stuff like that. So if you guys would be interested in something like that, and you're watching and you're not a member, become a member, and that's something we're going to plan and do for you guys, because I'm interested to know the answers to those questions too, because I've always wondered what it's like to be in that world. So I think that'll be a good interview.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it. I'd love to do that. So bring your questions.
Oh, I got some.
Mark Phillips says, I'm the Pope if he no inside trading. Clayton, did you work at Fox during the terrorist attacks of 2001? No, I didn't. I was at I was in West Virginia at the time, working for an NBC affiliate in Bluefield, West Virginia, during that time. So any good questions coming in? I'll be happy to read them.
Mostly comments. Makiba Anderson sent a $5 super chat. Repubs and demos are two sides of the same evil coin and crumbling dollar. And then John Shank said, happy Thanksgiving, Clayton. I find it interesting while other businesses are closing down, my job is hiring drivers and insiders to keep our business going.
Yeah, I think you're a manager at the Domino's there in Maryland, right? Domino's Pizza. Look, people don't want to go out to restaurants, so you know, food delivery has got to be surging right now. You know, Uber Eats, etc. I mean, is
and Randy Spencer. Randy Spencer is wanting to know if you will show your family before you end today.
Yeah, they're all floating around. My little girls have taken a nap right now, but yeah, the other ones are here. Did you ever answer the question? Tommy Merritt says, do you ever answer the question is why in Mexico, Ecuador, Dominican Republic, and Republic not get a stimulus? I don't know about that. I don't know, frankly, I know a lot of what Europe did and most of Asia, but I don't know what Dominican Republic did.
Will you please run for president, Clayton?
Thank you, Chris. No, I will not, but thank you.
With people who got evicted and don't have a bank account, how will they get a stimulus if it ever passes? Elijah is asking.
People who get evicted and don't have a bank account. Well, of course, that was a big issue during the first round of stimulus, are the unbanked, as they're known. And so they were able to get those EDI cards that they could use at bank accounts. You could use it at an ATM to get cash out. So those cards were given out. Yeah, DoorDash is great.
Yeah, I use DoorDash quite a bit, actually, especially during this pandemic. And it helped me, you know, being when I was a single guy in an apartment, you know, I didn't want to dirty dishes, so I just order DoorDash.
Thank you, Angel Baby Cards. I appreciate it. Everyone's got an opinion. It's true, especially if it's, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. Give Grover a slice of turkey. Yeah, we got him this, we got him the turkey dinner that we're going to give him in a little bit. After we have our turkey dinner. Thank you, James Gilliam. Thanks to all of you for joining us today.
You should get video of that with your phone so we can send that out to members of the turkey consumption of Grover.
Okay. Yeah, I'll shoot that a little later. I'll give him the turkey. It's like a prepackaged turkey dinner. Okay. I'll send some video. You guys, yeah, if you're subscribers and you're a member only, you'll get to see that in the members only feed. Yeah, Grover is down for the count. He's passed out.
Welcome, James, to membership.
Yeah, how many new members do we have today? You can become a channel member if you'd like by just going to morninginvest.com/join.
We got four new members today. Jean LaBelle, Tommy Merritt, James, it's only showing three on my thing here, but it says four. So
Oh, I see four, first. Yeah. Paul Montaloni says, hey, Clayton, do you feel that Biden is making a mistake by not giving the people money and closing the country down when he gets in the office? Well, Paul, obviously, to be clear, he's not president yet. January 20th is when he becomes president, right? So he's president-elect right now. So he has no power at this moment. We'll see what January holds, but I think it's essential. I think, quite honestly, there should be massive stimulus for all of these businesses that are forced to close. I think there should be an eviction moratorium that could, I think rental assist, I think all of it should happen. I've been pushing for it for a long time. And so I would love to see that happen, you know, but I don't know if we're going to, if here's the question. It all comes down to January 5th, guys, Georgia, the Georgia runoff seats. So we've got to be watching that race very closely. Heck, Andrew Yang just moved. Did you see that? Andrew Yang just moved to Georgia so he could vote. People are moving to Georgia so they can register to vote on the Democratic side. Thank you to all of our gold members. Thank you to everyone who became a channel member, by the way. You have multiple tiers, and you know it, we try to make it as cheap as possible to support the show. You can choose whatever tier you want, but just for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support independent journalism covering the stories that you won't see other places.
$1.99 is per month, and you can cancel at any time, and that's all through YouTube.
Exactly. Jackie Hoover says, I wish Olive Garden delivers.
I'm sure you can get Olive Garden through DoorDash.
Endless breadsticks, though? Yeah. You have to keep sending them back?
Just tell them on the thing, put 50 in the bag.
50 breadsticks. 50 and endless salad, by the way. Here's a little known fact about me. I used to work at Olive Garden. I was one of the hosts, you know, when you come in and I ask you how many people and where do you want to, you know, if I could get you a table. Here's the thing. I have no shame, right? Like I'm willing to do anything, right? It's very hard to embarrass me. But if you have a thing where at your restaurant you make all of your servers like sing That's Amore every 45 minutes when the song comes on and everyone who works there has to sing that song. Like I can't handle that kind of stuff. So what I did when I worked there is I would go to the bathroom and hide.
Come on,
I couldn't
man.
Handle it. Just like it, like was it like the Texas Roadhouse or one of those other places that's like that?
Yeah, that was
and
always
they play,
uncomfortable.
They dance. They do like the line dancing thing.
Yeah, One-Eyed Jack or whatever that is, Cotton Eye Joe or something.
Yeah, I couldn't handle that. That's the kind of stuff my mom likes. She's like, look, everybody, they're singing.
I'm just sitting there like
run to the like.
Like, my steak's getting cold.
Right. Yeah. Hey, while you're doing a line dance, what is this, medieval times? You know, like I came for dinner. I didn't come for a dance party. Yeah, but when that song would come on and I worked there, I would go to the bathroom. Get me out of having to sing that song. I can't handle that.
Brian Wan, thanks for
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Thanks to all of our new subscribers today. I really appreciate it. Thanks for all of your support. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Hey, people in the chat wanted to see the whole family on this Thanksgiving. Can you guys come over here? Well, I know Eve's asleep. Eve's taking a little nap. Ava Miles. Mommy. Look alive. And they're hopping right up. I mean, I've never seen them move so fast. Hello. My
legs are brining here.
Am I speaking just for... Here's Ava, my 8-year-old, my little dancing 8-year-old who bops around all the time. Here's my buddy Miles, my 10-year-old. Come on up out of the so you're not out of focus. And my beautiful wife is back here. You know her as the person who filled in last week. And baby Eve is asleep. And here's and here's baby Grover. So that's the Morris family for you on this Thanksgiving.
Okay, I need to say happy.
You want to say happy Thanksgiving?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope you have a...
Look at the Christmas tree.
It does look good. Thank you for setting that up for me.
That's called
Happy
bokeh.
Thanksgiving, everyone. Yeah, it's called bokeh. That's a photography term. Is that a Japanese photography term when it's slightly out of focus? And bokeh?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I want to see
like
this.
It.
I want...
Hi, Ava, Miles.
And hey, Ava and Miles, happy Thanksgiving.
See, they're reading the chat now.
From your...
So don't put any swear words in there because they can read now.
Yeah, Nicholas isn't in here anymore, so...
What an amazing family. So sweet. Okay.
Very sweet.
Are those coffee beans?
Yes, those are coffee beans on Grover Cam.
Hey, where was that pilgrim hat you were talking about?
Oh, you can't really see it here on this, but we added... See the little pilgrim hat here?
Here.
Is that a pilgrim hat or is it... Yeah, there it is.
It's a pilgrim hat.
Bye! Wait.
Bye. Bye, everyone. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Oh, I was going to put the pilgrim hat on.
We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
Screen for
what, you got it on? You can't get it? All right, much love to all of you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving, David. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
You as well.
We will see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.